Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come on.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Hubble Happy Hour. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Spokane to St. Pete, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Thanks so much for carving out some time for us this morning. Lots to get to on today's show. Obviously, we'll go inside last night's Game 1 victory by the Warriors of the NBA Finals. All too easy for Golden State. Is this the way the rest of the series is going to look? Final score 113-91. The Warriors run and hide. Can Beast Mode hit any of his contractual incentives? The contract details are out and, frankly, I don't think so. Also, one of the most remarkable NBA Finals pieces of trivia I've ever stumbled across. In fact, I heard it. I didn't believe it. It was reasserted to me. I didn't believe it. I researched it. I still don't believe it. We'll get to that coming up here in about 30 minutes from now. But it's something that just blew my hair back about the NBA Finals trivia-wise coming up here later on in this hour. We'll also have Anthony Michael Hall, the original Rusty Griswold, joining us in studio 1 hour from now. He's got a new Netflix series. So we'll talk to Anthony Michael Hall in studio, play 10 questions with him.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
And then, of course, in hour number 3, the bleep hits the fan, Mr. Six. One of the great personalities, one of the legends, one of the scariest men ever to play flag football, is scheduled to join us in studio at the top of the 3rd hour. That would be 11 a.m. Eastern time. I guess he's out on work release today, and so we're allowed to have him here in studio. We don't know if his probation officer will be with him, but Mr. Six is scheduled to join us in studio. And frankly, I'm hoping that he wants to verbally rip out Mraz's guts. That comes your way, and you can watch it on the stream at watchda.com 2 hours from now. Let's begin with last night. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed because the entire season was about this matchup, and nothing else really mattered. And then the postseason began, and neither one of these teams played an entertaining series. It wasn't their fault. They were just that much better than everybody else that they played, but it led to zero drama in the NBA playoffs. And then we finally got to last night, and the ball was tipped, and we've got a palpable sense of anticipation inside that building. And you've got LeBron, and you've got Durant, and you've got Steph, and you've got Kyrie, and you said, okay, this is what it's about. This is what the NBA Finals is boiled down to, and it couldn't be cooler. It couldn't be better. It felt big, heavyweight bout. And then, like air being let out of a balloon, it's nothing. It's nothing. By the time we got to the third quarter, the game was over. More boring basketball. Is this going to be the way the NBA Finals goes? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Klay takes it down the far side to Curry. Curry now. Right wing goes to Durant. Durant will fire. It's a three from the right corner. Durant's 14 of 26 from the floor, and he's got 38.
You take one of the best teams that we had ever assembled last year, you know, that we saw in the regular season and in the postseason, you know, and then, you know, in the offseason you add a high-powered offensive talent like that and a great basketball IQ like that, you know, that's what stands out. It's no ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, we got to figure out how to, how to combat that.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Warriors radio on the call. Obviously, LeBron talking about a tremendous night for Kevin Durant. 38 points. 8 rebounds, a number of assists. Durant was fantastic, but this is what stuck out last night. As great as KD was, what stuck out is that the Cavaliers played absolutely garbage defense. How many uncontested dunks and drives to the basket in the first half, in the first quarter, did Durant have? I mean, Durant is mean mug and he's flexing. There wasn't a defender in front of him. Not a defender to be seen anywhere. Two things have to happen for the Cavaliers to have any chance at winning this series or even extending this series. Number one, their defense cannot be that lackadaisical. For some reason, you've got all of the Cavs running to the perimeter to guard the shooters and ignoring the fact that Kevin Durant or Steph Curry is driving right down their throat for an easy bucket. Can't happen. I don't know why they didn't, as Mark Jackson mentioned last night, stop the ball. First thing you got to do defensively is stop the ball. The guy that's bringing up the ball has got to be stopped, and then you can set up your defense. These guys are running to spots on the floor where the ball is not leaving the middle of the floor open. What is that? So very disappointed in the Cavaliers' defensive effort. Number two, LeBron tried to drive and kick. And how many of his passes were picked off by the Warriors? He needs to be more disciplined in where he is kicking to. He cannot just blindly be throwing passes all around the court. And that led to possessions for the Cavs that led to no points, no shots, total turnovers. So number one, make the Warriors work more than that. Number two, don't give away possessions or else you will lose. In game two, I fully expect a more disciplined and a smarter effort from the Cavaliers. I don't think Cleveland is that bad. But the Warriors made it look all too easy. And if the Cavaliers are going to be that bad, if they're not going to be smart defensively, and they are going to turn the basketball over, and they're also, I thought a lot of their shots, once they found themselves down by 7 to 9 points, a lot of the shots were just garbage shots. They didn't really try to set up any offense. They just chucked and ducked. If that's going to be the way that the Cavaliers play, it's going to be a 4-game sweep. And that means the Warriors won't have lost a game. I don't expect that. I think LeBron is going to shake the collar of everybody on that team. I think those guys are savvy enough, are experienced enough to where that's not going to happen again. But last night was a dog of a game, an absolute dog. And we all knew it. And Twitter was bored and social media was upset. because we all waited for what we thought was going to be this great series, and game one was a dog. And I've got guys telling me, yeah, well, if you're in Golden State, this has been an awesome postseason. Yeah, I know. But everybody outside of Golden State is bored with their eyes coming out of their heads. Yeah, we know. If that's your team, you love it. But if in Oakland, anywhere in California, any Warriors fan, if this was the Lakers that didn't have any resistance en route to a championship, every Warriors fan would hate it. So don't give me, oh, this is the great, we're seeing greatness. We love dominance. Shouldn't we appreciate this? If the Lakers were doing this, every Warriors fan out there would be complaining that the NBA playoffs sucked. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. There is also a problematic dynamic to me in modern basketball, specifically in the NBA Finals, where you would think every possession is fought over. We now have hit a point in the NBA's evolution because there is such a prominence in the three-point shot. The teams don't even try to offensively rebound anymore. Last night, I think Kevin Love had 21 rebounds, if I'm not mistaken. K-Love had 21 rebounds. I would argue almost none of them were contested. Kevin Love's doing his job. He's crashing the boards, quote-unquote. But when the Warriors put up a shot, they don't really have anybody under the basket. I mean, what it takes is Steph Curry running around like a mayfly, sticking one of his hands in there to try to create some type of deflection to then get an offensive rebound. When the Cavaliers were hoisting up three-pointers last night, nobody offensively was underneath the basket to try to get an offensive rebound. So it's chuck, duck, easy defensive rebound, transition the other way. I mean, everybody on the Cavaliers just seemed to space as soon as a shot went up. And so you have rebounding statistics that are very inflated, and they really don't tell the story of what's going on. But last night was a dog. I mean, yes, Kevin Durant stepped up and had a really good night, but I mean, what defense was being played on Kevin Durant last night? 38-8-8 looks great in the box score, but how much of Kevin Durant's offense was anything close to effort? I mean, they weren't effort points. It was just nobody was in front of him. Now, Durant's an amazingly difficult matchup, and Durant on this team is nearly impossible to try to defend. But that was not a solid effort from the Cavaliers last night. Not at all. It'll take so much more than that to make this a series. My God. 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, elsewhere in the Bay Area, football. Contract details are in, and the question is going to be asked, now that Beast Mode is in Oakland, can he hit any of these incentives to make this a worthwhile contract? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Good morning, DA. You know what, my friend? I love you to death, because if there's one thing that I've learned from listening to you, is you stick to it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show when we'll answer it. Sign up to be an O-Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O-Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points that you earn. It's fast. It's easy. It's free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Mark tweets in, DA, LeBron teams typically not good in the first game of the finals. Sunday should be a different story. Yes, indeed. LeBron's teams are 1-7 in game one of the NBA Finals. And, of course, LeBron has won 3 of those titles. I hope so. I think so. I'm still convinced this is going to be a longer series. I still am convinced this is going to go six or seven. I was just disappointed, though, because the Cleveland Cavaliers know you've got to try to throw an early punch, and you've got to try to land an early punch. And last night, they didn't try to throw it, and they certainly didn't land it. They don't have to get one of the first two. This is why I keep talking about how the Stanley Cup final is far from over. The road team didn't have to get a split in the first two. It's very nice if you do, but you don't have to win the series. You obviously just have to win one of the road games and all of your home games. So if you win your home games, you can still go back there and win game five or go back there and win game seven, both of which the Cavs did last year at Oracle. So you've got plenty of shots to win this if you lose game one. But losing game one like they did last night is disappointing because it was nowhere close to the effort that it takes, and they know the effort that it takes. They know what it takes. Now, I will say, last year, remember, the Warriors blew out the Cavs in both games one and games two at Oracle. And then the Cavs came back and blew out the Warriors in game three in Cleveland. So speaking of the Bay Area, from a football-related standpoint, Beast Mode has his new contract. And every time I see some Raider news, I think about how the wind, the autumn wind is a Raider. And then I remember, oh no, wait, the autumn wind is actually Mr. Six.
He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is Six, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
All right, that whole thing's happening today. 11 a.m. Eastern time, Mr. Six is going to be in studio with us. So here's Marshawn Lynch's contract bonuses, okay? You may have read that he's got a $7.5 million contract, but here are the incentives, okay, coming up for this season. Number one, he didn't play last year, and he's 31 years old. Let's keep that in mind. Didn't play last year, 31 years old. Okay? Mraz, let's go through these. You tell me if you think this is realistic. Number one, Marshawn Lynch rushes for 500 yards this year.
I'm going to say yes, he can.
I agree. He earns $400,000 bonus. Okay? That's a nice 400K.
Not bad.
600 yards this year.
Good offensive line. Yeah, he can.
I agree. That's another $400,000. Okay, so we're up to $800,000 of Marshawn Lynch's contract if he hits 600 yards. Just 600 yards. If he does not hit 600 yards, this is a problematic signing for the Raiders. 800 yards.
I'll say yes, he can, but I'm certainly less confident than 600 yards.
If you gave me the over-under at 800 yards, I'm taking the under. But I agree with you, he could. Like, I could see him at, like, 833, 852. I don't think he's going to be much over 800 yards. That is $600,000. Okay. 1,000 yards.
No chance is he running for 1,000 yards this
31
year.
31 years old. He's not the only back in there. Didn't play last year. There's no way he hits 1,000.
In a passing offense.
Right. That would be another $600,000.
So if he goes over 8, just to make sure I'm right here, over 800 yards, it's 600,000 on top of the 400, on top of the 400.
Correct. Yes. So these are nice little benchmarks that he would be
for
getting.
Sure.
Okay. If he has more than 1,000 yards for every 100 yards after that, so 1,100, 1,200, 1,300, 1,400, 1,500, up to 1,600, he gets $250,000. Do you think he'll hit any of the 100 marks after 1,000?
No, because zero he's chance. Not getting to 1,000 anyway.
Correct. Zero chance. Okay. If he reaches 1,600 yards, he gets $3.5 million as bonus money.
So now he's becoming Eric Dickerson in his prime at 31.
I mean, seriously, 1,600 yards would probably lead the league, right?
Yeah, it would be the most remarkable story of all time.
So that's where $3.5 million of this whole contract situation comes from. If he hits $1,600. Okay. Can he score? Can he rush for 9 touchdowns?
Yes, he can, because you might use him as a goal line back.
It's a lot of touchdowns.
It's a lot of touchdowns, but I think it doesn't go hand in hand. Like, I think if he has 9 touchdowns, he's probably only rushing for 600 yards.
Okay, so if we give him 9 touchdowns, that's $250,000. Okay, so we're kind of at, like, if he has 800 yards and 9 touchdowns, he's at, like, $1.2 million.
Good comeback tour.
Okay. 12 touchdowns.
No.
That would be another $250,000. If he rushes for 1,600 yards, which he won't, and 12 touchdowns, which he won't, and Oakland makes the playoffs, he gets $500,000.
Well,
they'll make the playoffs,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but I think they're making the playoffs. He's along for the ride. I don't think they're making the playoffs with him on this MVP campaign.
Right. So 1,600 yards, 12 touchdowns, and they make the playoffs. He makes $500,000. Again, that's where a lot of this money that you're hearing is coming from. If he wins the NFL MVP, he gets $250,000. You think that's happening?
No. I guess Adrian Peterson's the last running back to win the MVP.
That sounds right.
Yeah, okay, so you need to be like a dominant running back in your prime to win the MVP. And Marshawn Lynch never won the MVP when he was dominant with the Seahawks. Now suddenly he's going to win it with the Raiders at 31.
Could you imagine what type of season Marshawn Lynch would have to win the MVP over Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and the rest of the quarterbacks that always put up crazy numbers? What type of, he would have to put up 1,600 yards.
Yeah, he'd have to be the best running back in the NFL, let alone the best running back on his team.
Yeah. Also, if he's Super Bowl MVP, he gets $500,000.
That's actually more probable than over 1,000 yards and the league MVP.
Because it's one game.
One game could go off and have a big day where maybe he has a beast quake run for 70-plus yards. The Raiders win the Super Bowl. Like, that's actually possible where most of these other incentives aren't.
So both you and I are going to peg him around the same thing. Maybe between 700 and 850 yards, 7 to 8 touchdowns.
Yes, but again, I think if he's in the 8, 9, 10 touchdown range, I think he's closer to 600 yards because I think they've transitioned him to like a short yardage back.
Better question, because he's not going to hit most of these incentives. Is Marshawn Lynch getting carries at the goal line in the playoffs? Do you think the Raiders make the playoffs? Do you think he's their goal line back in the playoffs?
Yes. I think they'll trust him in the playoffs. And I almost wonder if through these incentives, they know in the back of their mind they're going to limit his carries because they feel they're a playoff team and they'd rather have his experience to lean on in the playoffs.
Right, because you don't want to wear him out in the regular season. He's 31 years old, going to be nearing 32 by the time the playoffs roll around. He'd be great in the playoffs in that situation. He just can't kill him during the regular season.
You have to find that happy medium. And I wonder if that's going to be a little rocky if Marshawn Lynch is going to want to be getting paid and hitting incentives if the Raiders pull back the reins throughout the season. I wonder if that disrupts them a little bit.
Are the Patriots the 1 seed and the Raiders the 2 seed when we open up the playoffs in January?
Whew. I guess you have to say yes at this time, but the Steelers are always an X factor.
Texans could be very, very good.
I'm tired. Who are we starting at quarterback? Deshaun Watson starting at quarterback?
I guess it's going to be Deshaun Watson.
They're not good. First of all, the Titans are going to win that division, so the Texans aren't going to be really good. Andrew Luck's still in that division. Pump the brakes on the Texans. Will you do us all a favor?
It's an amazing defense that adds J.J. Watt. It was one of the best defenses in the league, and they add J.J. Watt. And I really like Deshaun Watson. He can't be as crummy as the quarterback they had last year.
Let me tell you something about amazing defenses, okay? Amazing defenses can slow down offenses on the road. Defense travels in the playoffs. They got lit up by New England in that second half last year in the playoffs.
Maybe, but look. You've got Whitney Mercilus. You've got J.J. Watt. You've got Jadeveon Clowney. And assuming all those guys are healthy, combined with what they did last year, and obviously they had guys that kind of even added to that depth, that should be the best defense in that division. Should be better than Tennessee, should be better than Indianapolis.
If we're sitting there, let's say Christmas Eve, the 7 fishes are coming out, and we're looking at the Texans as one of the buys in the AFC, you might as well chalk the Patriots up for another Super Bowl run.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, one of the craziest, unthinkable NBA Finals trivia pieces that I've ever heard. You will use this weekend at a bar to win a beer, I guarantee you. So I'm going to give you a free beer coming up next.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
The icing is in every bite. So it dances with the chocolate cake of it.
Dances.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Dances. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder, you can always watch the show. The digital broadcast is going on as we speak each and every morning. So if you are listening, that is awesome. But if you want to watch the show, like when Anthony Michael Hall is in studio with us in 20 minutes from now, you can do that. Or when Mr. Six joins us at the top of the third hour, that would be 11 o'clock Eastern time, you can do so by going to watchda.com on your laptop, on your PC. You can also do it on your phone. It's mobile friendly. That is watchda.com. Hal is next up in Topeka, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1490. Hello, Hal.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on with you, my man?
Oh, nothing. I was on the show a couple months ago. I answered the Tony Danza question back a few months ago.
Right on.
Good to hear you in the morning. I usually listen to you on the way home, but my son and I still listen to you in the morning, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Hal.
I just wanted to say that you guys were talking football and Raiders and Houston, but you guys didn't mention the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to be a really good team with Kareem Hunt this year and Tyreek Hill, and our defense is going to be stout.
The defense should be very, very good again, Hal. I agree. There is something about the Chiefs, though, that feels stale. Look, they could easily win the AFC West. I think the Raiders are going to be very good. The Broncos should be better than last year, although there's obviously the question marks about their quarterback. Chiefs should be very good, and the Chiefs could easily win that division. I worry about the Chiefs stalling out at this plateau because of the quarterback, and I wonder if they're going to be able to get over it before they bring in Patrick Mahomes to take over the reins. You know, it feels like there's a ceiling with Alex Smith, that you could go 12-4, you could go 11-5, you could go and win a wild card playoff game, but that once you got into the division round, the offense is just not explosive enough to get it done. And last year, they had as good a chance as any year they have had under Andy Reid to really make a dent in the AFC playoffs. And once again, that offense went to sleep in the divisional round against the Steelers. And that worries me. And I think Patrick Mahomes could definitely take that offense to the next level, but he's not going to be able to do it this year because he's not ready to do it this year. But they'll be in the playoff conversation, no doubt about it. So I saw my man Brent Axe, radio host in Syracuse. He's all over it. Friend of mine. Tweet this yesterday, and I could not believe it. And I guess I didn't realize that Jackie McMullen had written about this last postseason. That 6 degrees of Shaquille O'Neal is a real thing in the most ridiculous way possible. Win a beer bet this weekend doing this. Did you know that every NBA champion dating back to 1984, we're talking about 32 years ago, every champion, really 33, but 32 past champions, every NBA champion has had a teammate of Shaquille O'Neal on it. Every NBA champion has had a teammate of Shaq on it. Dating back to the mid-80s. This floored me, and I needed the list. So here's the list, okay? And it will continue this year because on the Cavs side, you have LeBron. On the Warriors side, you have Matt Barnes, who was with Shaq on the 09 Suns. In 84, the Celtics won, and Greg Kite was a backup center on that Celtics team. He played on the first team with Shaq in Orlando. Shaq's first team with the Magic. So use that to win yourself a few beers. Here's the rest of the list. On the 85 Lakers, Byron Scott, who played with Shaq on the late 90s Lakers. Greg Kite again in 86 with the Celtics. 87 and 88 Lakers. A.C. Green was on those teams. A.C. Green played with Shaq with the Lakers in 2000. I didn't even realize A.C. Green was on that team in 2000. The 89 Pistons. Dennis Rodman played with Shaq. Lakers in 99. The 90 Pistons had John Sally, played with Shaq. The early 90s Bulls, 91, 92, 93, Horace Grant, played with Shaq on the 04 Lakers. The Rockets teams that went back-to-back, Robert Horry, a teammate of Shaq with the Lakers. The late 90s Bulls, remember, Horace Grant is gone. Steve Kerr and Ron Harper. Shaq played with Steve Kerr on the 93 Magic and then played with Ron Harper on the championship teams of the Lakers. The 99 Spurs had Steve Kerr on them. Then, of course, he was on the Lakers teams that won in 2000, 01, 02. 03, the Spurs had Steve Kerr. The 04 Pistons that knocked off Shaq and Kobe's Lakers had Lindsey Hunter on them. Lindsey played with the Lakers a couple of years earlier than that. 05 Spurs had Robert Horry. 06 Heat team had Shaq on it. The 07 Spurs had Robert Horry. The 08 Celtics, remember he played with a bunch of those guys a couple of years after they won. The 09 Lakers had Derek Fisher on it. He played with the Lakers back in the early aughts with Shaq. The 2010 Lakers had Luke Walton on it. The 2011 Mavericks is where this has a little asterisk. Because the 2011 Mavericks, who beat that super team of the Heat, had Sasha Pavlovich early in the season, the opening day roster. He played with Shaq on that Celtics team. But Sasha Pavlovich was traded midway through the year, so he didn't finish the season with a champion. All of the other guys did, but he started the season. The 2012 Heat had Udonis Haslem on it. He played with Shaq when Shaq was on the Heat. 2013 Heat had Ray Allen on it. He played with Shaq on that Celtics squad. 2014 Spurs had Boris Diaw, who played with Shaq on the Suns. The 2015 Warriors had Leandro Barbosa on it, who played with Shaq on the 09 Suns. And then you have LeBron James last year with the Cavs. This year it'll happen again because of LeBron, and you could obviously have put LeBron into those Heat teams that won connected to Shaq. But these are just kind of all of the connections of Shaq. But Matt Barnes also played with Shaq on the Suns. So he would be on the Warrior side. LeBron would be on the Cavalier side. So it's going to extend to 33 straight NBA champions. Somebody has played with Shaq. I mean, how is that even possible? How is that possible? So win yourself some money. Win yourself some beers this weekend. Use that as a trivia question.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Mike tweets, DA, I could see Marshawn Lynch getting comeback player of the year, and I think Super Bowl MVP is possible. I think it's possible because it's one game. I mean, usually it goes to the quarterback, so your heavy favorite would be Derek Carr if the Raiders win a Super Bowl. I've talked about this on record, though. I am all in on the Raiders winning a Super Bowl at some point over the next 3 years, and I'd love it to happen this upcoming year. Because if you're going to take the team away from the fans of Oakland, let them have the Super Bowl championship. Of course, this happens at a time where the Raiders are suddenly getting really good and are a Super Bowl contender after the Oakland fans had dealt with garbage football for more than a decade. I'd love to see them be able to get that Canyon of Heroes treatment, that championship parade downtown Oakland. Daniel tweets, Cleveland's playing sloppy last night. Turn of the ball over. It all killed them. They've got to figure out. They've got to figure that. You've got to figure they're going to clean that up the rest of the series. Yeah, I would assume. There was a lot of turnovers, including from LeBron. There was a lackadaisical sense of defense. Too many open layups. Too many open dunks by the Warriors last night. It's got to be better than that. It has to be. I mean, it just can't be as bad. But damn, we all waited for a really good NBA Finals Game 1. We all waited for this matchup, and then it looked exactly the same way the rest of the NBA playoffs have looked. Blowout, boring, nobody cares. Larry tweets, DA, nice to hear the return of the Mario coin during Marshawn Lynch salary discussion. Yeah, the Cleveland Indians play the Mario coin after every run scored. And then I think also the Spurs play the Mario coin after every free throw made, if I'm not mistaken. Which is interesting because clearly they've stolen it from me. Because I was doing the Mario coin 6 or 7 years ago on my radio show. I don't know. Maybe those two teams have done it earlier than that. I don't know. I'm just saying. So another interesting story football-wise today is Bill Snyder. And I have been very complimentary of Bill Snyder, head coach, head man, head everything of the K-State Wildcats. I mean, the guy has done one of the most remarkable jobs in college football history, taking the Wildcats from total afterthought, total disaster, total nothing program to having competed for national championships, going to major bowl games, winning the Big 12, and now still there. I mean, you can't knock the guy off. It's amazing. I mean, he just keeps ticking. He's like a robot. But it's such a weird story, what is happening with him right now and what is happening with his team, and it's very disappointing to me. You have a player that is playing, that is a sophomore for the K-State Wildcats, named Corey Sutton. And Corey Sutton is a wide receiver. Now, Corey Sutton wants to transfer, but Bill Snyder has said no. In fact, Corey Sutton has a list of 35 different schools he'd like to transfer to. Those include D2 and FCS schools. And Bill Snyder has blocked all of them. Now, Sutton feels like he's not getting any run at K-State and that the coaching staff doesn't like him and he's basically being pushed out anyway. So he says, well, let me transfer. And K-State's saying no. 35 different schools you can't transfer. Which makes you wonder, why would you not let a kid transfer to a D2 school? So yesterday, Bill Snyder's asked about this question, and he goes so far as to say that Corey Sutton has even failed 2 drug tests.
I think our fans know what I'm about. They know what our program is about, and you know, I think they trust that. The very little that was said, and you know, whatever Yokel was that wrote the article, he was probably here today someplace. I don't know, maybe it's one of you. I can't see because of the lights. None of that. I mean, very little of that is accurate or true. You know, if you do right and abide by, you know, the law and our regulations, you know, this young man's been in trouble twice, tested positive twice. You know, I've never kept a player in our program who's tested positive 2 times and drug testing, but we had some rules in the athletic department that allowed that to happen this time.
That audio courtesy of KCTV5 in Kansas City. So this is what doesn't make any sense. Bill Snyder is going to drop a bomb that this player failed 2 drug tests and that he's never kept a player in his roster on his program that has failed 2 drug tests. And yet, he wants to keep Corey Sutton and won't allow him to transfer anywhere. So this doesn't make any sense. I'm sure the player is not without blame here. I'm sure there is something where the administration and Bill Snyder feel angry or frustrated by the commitment of Corey Sutton. But you can't have it both ways if you're Bill Snyder. And I'm a Bill Snyder fan, but you can't have it both ways. You can't drop a bomb that one of your players failed two drug tests and we never keep bad guys around, but then block that same guy from 35 different schools. You want to prevent him from transferring within that conference? Fine. I don't like that rule in the NCAA, but that's okay. Fine. But you're going to block him from D2 schools? You're going to block him from FCS schools? You're going to block him from going to play football somewhere else? I mean, anywhere else? You're not going to let him go anywhere? And then you're going to rip him publicly for failing two drug tests? I'm sorry, Bill Snyder's out of line here. You can't have it both ways. And this kind of shows a little bit of the age of Bill Snyder. You can't do that. You can't say, first of all, you can't be public and say this guy's failed two drug tests. Number two, you can't say he's failed two drug tests. We never keep around guys like that, but we're not going to let him transfer to anywhere, including D2 schools. Man, keep him and defend him because he's your guy, or let him transfer, but you can't have it both ways. When we come back, Anthony Michael Hall in studio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.